SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here to start off a new week. It's Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us here on this Monday on FFC. There is so much to get to here after a wild weekend in the world of football. It was conference championship weekend in college football. And following the results of the game, we had Selection Sunday, the four teams that will play in the 10th and final year of the four-team format in college football playoffs era. We'll break down those four teams and who was left out. Team number five on the outside, that is Florida State. You can expect some heat. You can expect some intensity in those discussions later on in the show. But Lisi, got it was also week number 13 of the NFL season and a Sunday slate with some marquee matchups on the board, including an NFC title game rematch from a season ago yesterday in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, there were two games that really mattered in terms of the outcomes. We saw the Sunday night game with the Packers and Chiefs, and we saw that heavyweight battle in Philadelphia between San Francisco and the Eagles. It was a rematch of the NFC Championship game. Brock Purdy knocked out last year, stepped up. The Eagles had a 6-0 lead in terms of the first quarter. They were dictating the tempo, but from the second quarter on, it was the physicality, Ben, of San Francisco's offensive line. Brock Purdy attacked that secondary early and often. That opened up the rushing attack at Christian McCaffrey. And I was dead wrong in terms of the breakdown for the Philadelphia Eagles. San Francisco made a statement. They took it to the Eagles in that ballgame and now potentially are the best team in the NFL heading into week number 14.
Yeah, and Joe, that's the really big component of what we saw yesterday in Philadelphia. First, let's welcome in our Sirius XM audience here on channel 159. That's the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. It's Football Full Circle. Reactions from the Sunday slate, reactions from Selection Sunday in college football, and that college football playoff coming your way here over the next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern time. First, we start in the National Football League. The rematch of that NFC Championship game from a season ago, yesterday playing out in Philly. Joe, you alluded to it. A dominant performance out of the 49ers. 42-19, the final four San Francisco, walking into Philadelphia and covering as a 2.5-point road favorite. The total of 47 and a half, of course, skies over. San Francisco nearly got there on their own with 42 points. The 49ers, Joe, have covered in 8 of their 9 wins in all 9 victories for San Fran. They have scored at least 27 points. And yesterday was the first time for Philadelphia booked as an underdog in the last 2 years against anybody not named the Kansas City Chiefs. And Joe, it was a strong San Francisco line, of course, to be a 2.5-point, 3-point favorite even at times on the road in Philly. But I still expected the game to be more competitive than it was. I did not see more than a 20-point margin in favor of San Francisco, but that's what it was. The 49ers, 42-19, the victory.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the biggest thing, and I think this game was won in the trenches, even though Brock Purdy threw for 4 touchdowns, had time from the second quarter on. And that was, I think, a cause of concern if you're looking at this game objectively for the Philadelphia Eagles, because they have one of the most dominant rush defenses heading into that ballgame. But the last two games, Ben, against Buffalo and Kansas City, that front seven looked like they were starting to wear down. They gave up over 100 yards both to the Bills and Kansas City Chiefs on the ground. They were now started very fast in the first quarter, but seemed to just lose their you know, energy or just focus, because, I mean, the San Francisco 49ers offensive line was just manhandling them, allowing Brock Purdy time, and then when they pounded the rock with Christian McCaffrey, he wasn't getting touched until the second level. So that was a dynamic effort by the offensive line. Credit Kyle Shanahan for making first half adjustments, and even though the Eagles were a second-half team, right? We've seen them come out trailing at the half, had no answers for the offense of San Francisco. Dominant win, but it was one in the trenches. No matter what anybody tells you, San Francisco dominated on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, Philly as a team yesterday, just 18 carries for 46 total rushing yards, 2.6 yards per carry. Jalen Hurts was their leading rusher, did score a touchdown, did throw a touchdown, and also threw for 298 yards, but they were playing from behind for most of that second half. Brock Purdy, Joe, there are some questions about the ceiling of this San Francisco team with him as the quarterback. Could he go on the road in these big spots and win a game against a Super Bowl contender like Philadelphia? He proved it yesterday, 19 of 27, 314 yards, four touchdowns. Deebo Samuel had 116 receiving yards, two of those four passing scores from Brock Purdy. Also ran one in, as well as 22 rushing yards, three total touchdowns for Deebo. Yesterday, Christian McCaffrey, 17 carries, 93 yards, and a score as well. And Joe, the reason this game was monumental, not only a rematch of last year's NFC Championship, a potential preview of this year's NFC title game as well. And there was so much conversation between these two sides, between these two fan bases about what could have happened last year in the NFC title if Brock Purdy was fully healthy for the entirety of that game. It was a big time for the 49ers to avenge that loss. And Joe, they made a statement yesterday. San Francisco now, the lone favorite to win the NFC at plus 160, nearly a full dollar in front of the Birds, plus 250, the price on Philadelphia. And San Francisco, Joe, now the lone favorite to win a Super Bowl this year, that Lombardi Trophy for Super Bowl 58, plus 350 for the 49ers, now a full dollar in front of both the Chiefs and the Eagles, who move back to 6-1, tied for the third best price alongside Baltimore.
Yeah, when you win a ball game by that 42-19 or 42-26, whatever the final was in terms of that ball game, you win by double digits. And again, it was never even close in terms of the second half of that ball game. And to be able to go into a tough environment where they've had some struggles, right? Lost to Cleveland, lost to Minnesota. And since the bye week, it sounds like and looks like they found their mojo, right? They're focused in the second half of the season. And again, you look at the Eagles right now. I mentioned the defensive concerns. You look at that ball game in terms of Green Bay last night. Obviously, Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce not as consistent week to week to week, and that's why San Francisco now is head and shoulders above everybody else. Styles make fights. They won that ball game. And again, I still think the Eagles will be there. I think, you know, they have a tough ball game this week with Dallas. I think they'll be just fine. It most likely will be a rematch. San Francisco and the Eagles in an NFC championship. But we'll see how it plays out, Ben.
Yeah, Joe, I think if you were to put a prop bet out there, either San Francisco or Philadelphia to play in the NFC title game, one of these two top teams in the NFC, I think it'd be heavily juiced, and I think a lot of people would pay that minus money price because it's still a very top-heavy NFC at the moment, and we knew the odds were going to update following the result of this game. Even if San Francisco won and covered by 3 points, the market was going to shorten on their price to win the NFC championship. But I will say one thing. Philadelphia is still minus 125 to be the number one overall seed in the NFC. They have a full game advantage over both San Francisco despite the loss and the Dallas Cowboys. But next up in this gauntlet, it's a trip to the Star on Sunday Night Football Week 14 against those Cowboys for the Birds. Dallas already booked as an early 3-point home favorite. Plenty more from the NFL Sunday slate week number 13 coming your way next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it's Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio. He's Joe Lisi, I am Ben Stevens. Joe, Sunday Night Football at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. It just felt correct to see snow on the ground in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But what is cold is also very hot right now, Joe. Green Bay has won three straight games, 27-19, the final last night on Sunday Night Football. The Packers winning outright as a 5.5-point underdog against the Kansas City Chiefs. The sixth game this year for KC at 20 points or below, almost unfathomable for a Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid offense. But yet again, it didn't work out. Maybe some controversy at the end, Joe. A Hail Mary attempt targeted to Travis Kelce, who was in a wrestling match in the end zone with Packers defenders. No flag is thrown, though, and it does not matter when the overall results will be told. Green Bay wins by 8, 27-19, outright as a 5.5-point dog.
Yeah, there's two teams in the NFC, or maybe all of football, that I don't want to play right now. One is the Green Bay Packers, the other is the LA Rams. And the reason why I say that is they're similar, right? They're starting to trend. Green Bay, we saw the dominance on Thanksgiving Day, where that offense started early and often, and they were hitting on basically all cylinders. Jordan Love now has put together, Ben, a good run in terms of the last 3 to 4 games. It started when he was at Pittsburgh. He threw for 289. He follows that up with basically 300-yard performance against Detroit and just continues against Kansas City. Right? He finds Christian Watson, offensive line protecting him, his pocket presence, his ability to keep his eyes down the field. They got the rushing attack going early with A.J. Dillon. And guess what? Rashawn Gary now is transforming this defense. They're opportunistic. They're not giving up a lot of chunk plays. Very good against the run. Look out, baby, because Green Bay, they're probably not going to win the division. But I'm telling you this right now, the way they're playing, they're as good as anybody in the NFC, and I think they can make a run. So they're 34-1 to potentially win the NFC Championship, what I know sounds like a long shot. But I'm telling you, they're a wild card contender. They get in, they can make some noise with those playmakers.
At this moment, Joe, Green Bay owns the 7th and final NFC playoff spot. They are one of 4 teams right now in the hunt for a wild card position in the NFC at 6-6. The Vikings, who had a bye this weekend, the Packers, the Rams, and the Seahawks. LA, like Green Bay, has won 3 straight. The quarterback play for Green Bay, Joe, on this run, 267, 3 touchdowns last night for Jordan Love, outdueling Patrick Mahomes, well over his pregame prop of 219.5 as well. Joe, in this 4-game span for Jordan Love, 10 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions, Green Bay has won 3 of the 4, their last 3 outright. Joe, as an underdog this year, the Packers have been booked as a dog 10 times in their 12 games. They're 6-4 ATS, 5 of those 6 covers in outright victory. Meanwhile, Joe, what's your concern level for Kansas City? They fall to 8-4. They do not even win outright as a 5.5-point favorite. And the offense that we thought was on the uptick after 31 points in a second half surge against Las Vegas last week out in the desert comes to a halt once again on Sunday night.
Yeah, I do have concerns about Kansas City. Now, I like Green Bay in the game, right? You know, they were 6-point dogs. It was back-to-back road games for Kansas City. I thought that was a concern. It was a cold-weather environment. And we've seen the offense struggle in terms of consistency. Now, the one thing I think that you look at is that, yes, Travis Kelce still is the main target and weapon to that ball club. But outside of that, the inconsistency as it relates to the wide receiver position. There is no Tyreek Hill. There is no Mecole Hardman in terms of the speed. Rashee Rice, 8 receptions, 64 yards, only 8 yards per catch, which shows that they're methodically working down the field. You used to think of the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of chunk explosive plays, Ben. They don't have that anymore. So yes, they're winning ball games. They're doing it differently. But you know, we don't bring this up enough, and I think it needs to be maybe magnified a little bit more. Eric Bieniemy is no longer calling plays relation with Andy Reid, right? You know, how much of that do we take into account in terms of the consistency with Kansas City's offense? Because they just don't look like they have it from week to week to week, and that's what you want to see out of this explosive offense, and we just haven't seen it. If they get a road matchup in terms of a playoff type of situation, whatever the road matchup is, I would have concerns backing the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of that type of scenario. And right now, I choose to put my money on a team that can win on the road, like the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll see how it plays out.
The Chiefs right now, so the favorites to win the AFC title, plus 210, but now only 70 cents in front of Baltimore, who also was on the bye this weekend, just a dollar and a half in front of Miami. You bring up the Jaguars, Joe, in action to close out week 13 on this Monday night at home as nearly a double-digit favorite against the Bengals. Jacksonville, the fourth best price at plus 650. The reason I bring up Monday Night Football, we'll give you some thoughts in just a moment as well. The Jags expected to win. They're a 9.5-point home favorite. If they do, even outright, Joe, 9-3 Jacksonville, 9-3 Baltimore, 9-3 Miami. KC would be a full game behind all three of those teams. And we have known that in this five-year run for Kansas City, two Super Bowls, 12 wins at least with Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback. They have hosted the AFC Championship game each and every year. They haven't been the number one seed every time based on how the postseason bracket has worked out, but they've hosted. And if you're the number one seed, you have a really good chance. If you get there, of course, you'll be hosting that AFC title game. Elsewhere, Joe, around the NFL, what a game it was in Houston between the Texans and the Broncos, two teams that entered at 6-5 with implications on that AFC wild card chase. And the Houston Texans hold on defensively, intercepting Russell Wilson for the third time in the game late in that fourth quarter to seal the victory. The Texans now 7-5 over their preseason win total that was at 5.5, 6.5. And with the rookie head coach DeMeco Ryans and the rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud and the rookie edge rusher Will Anderson Jr., who had a huge day yesterday, two sacks, two tackles for loss, a pass defended, four quarterback hurries, the Houston Texans show a 7-5 football team firmly in the running for an AFC playoff spot.
Absolutely, and if we had a vote for Coach of the Year right now, I would give it to DeMeco Ryans over Dan Campbell, over Shanahan, over Shane Steichen, because he's doing it with the rookie quarterback and how that defense has stepped up. We always talk about the explosiveness of C.J. Stroud and those wide receivers, and rightfully so, but DeMeco Ryans has completely transformed that defense. They stepped up, they bent, but they didn't break when the game was on the line, and you know what? They beat a team that had won five straight, defensive effort as well for the Broncos over the past five games. That offense put up 22 points, gutty effort at home, and more importantly, now they're in contention to potentially make some noise in the AFC playoffs. They're going to be a very tough out, but DeMeco Ryans, for the job that he's done, gets my vote for Coach of the Year.
The Houston Texans, show are minus 355 to be an AFC playoff team. DeMeco Ryans plus 250, 50 cents behind Dan Campbell for that NFL Coach of the Year. There's also another team at 7-5 out of the AFC South over their preseason win total of 6.5. That's the Indianapolis Colts, a walk-off winner in overtime in Nashville. Gardner Minshew, four-yard touchdown toss to Michael Pittman Jr., and despite the Titans scoring first, a field goal in that extra session. Indianapolis, Joe, four straight wins, a cover as a slight 1.5-point road favorite against Tennessee, and they've covered in all four games as a slight favorite as well. Indy, if the season ended today, based on a head-to-head win over the Texans in the opening month of the year, would actually have that third and final AFC wildcard spot over Houston.
Yeah, again, you know, I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. Now, I know that the news came out as well. Tank Dell is done for the year. That'll hurt them. But, you know, right now the Colts are playing fantastic with a veteran quarterback that can win and make some noise, too. Gardner Minshew, Riverboat Gambler, Ben.
Yeah, and he keeps winning football games. How about that, Indianapolis at 7-5? More around the NFL Sunday slate. Week 13, it's coming next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Back right here on Football Full Circle, continuing our reactions to the NFL Sunday slate week number 13. Don't you worry, we'll have some college football playoff reactions as well coming up in our next segment. So, Joe, there's four teams right now in the AFC at 7-5 battling for the three AFC wild card spots. The two teams out of the South, the Texans and the Colts at 7-5, surprisingly so, and the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Joe, if we were to map map out these two teams. Positive upward trajectory for Houston and Indianapolis. Downward for both Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Not just because of the losses both teams suffered yesterday, but the quarterback concerns for the teams out of the AFC North. We start in Pittsburgh, Joe. The Steelers, in a weird game that featured multiple lengthy weather delays at Acrisure Stadium, lose outright as a 5.5-point favorite against the Arizona Cardinals by 2 touchdowns, 24-10 the final. Arizona wins its third game of the year. They're now 7-6 against the number, booked as a underdog in all 13 games. But, Joe, it's about the injury to the insult for Pittsburgh. They lost Kenny Pickett early in the game. A right ankle injury. It is expected he is going to miss multiple weeks for this Steelers team in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Yeah, but the good news is that Mitch Trubisky is a veteran quarterback, just like Gardner Minshew, and they shouldn't miss a beat from an offensive perspective. That's not really the concern for Pittsburgh. I think they can win some ball games. The concern is how the defense played against, I want to say, an average offense in terms of Arizona. This is an Arizona team that only put up, 14-17 points last week against an L.A. Ram team, get absolutely abused, gives up 457 total yards to the Rams, and you can only put up 10 points. And I heard Jaylen Warren, in terms of the post-game press conference, say that, you know, the team took Arizona for granted. I mean, took Arizona for granted. You're fighting for a division title. You're fighting for potentially a wild card berth. Every game matters. This is a team that you should have just beaten up and abused at home. They're in a complete basic rebuild with a first-year head coach. It's one thing to lose. You lose by 14? Are you kidding me? I mean, Ben, no excuse. We've rarely seen this from Mike Tomlin in terms of his coach teams, right? Always well prepared, always disciplined, a much better home team than they are on their. I mean, they got abused by Arizona. They were walking through the motions. I mean, you blinked and it was 17-3. Completely unacceptable if you're a Steeler fan.
The former Steeler, James Conner, making a statement, 25 carries, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Not a good loss for Pittsburgh, still slightly favored to be an AFC playoff team. But quarterback questions now. They play on a short week Thursday night football game, still booked as a 6-point favorite, even with Mitchell Trubisky as the starter, because they're taking on the New England Patriots. We'll talk about the Pats in just a moment. Cleveland, though, Joe, had to play Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback yesterday on the road in Los Angeles against the Rams. They lost 36-19. Quarterback concerns for the Browns. Deshaun Watson, of course, out for the remainder of this season. Dorian Thompson-Robinson in concussion protocol yesterday. That's why you pick up Flacco and play him on a short amount of notice. Did not lead to good results. Meanwhile, L.A., Matthew Stafford, 279, 3 touchdowns. The Rams, Joe, have also won 3 straight, booked as a favorite in every game. They've covered in their last two, yesterday winning by 17, covering as a 3.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, I said it, Ben. The two teams that I'm betting on, and I know their long shots, are L.A. and Green Bay to potentially make some noise for an NFC championship. All you got to do is get there. You could hedge later. We're talking about 34-46-1, respectively. L.A. Rams have a quarterback and a team that won the Super Bowl. And I understand they look a little bit different, but when you have Kyren Williams that can run it, he can catch it. You have Puka Nacua that had a big game. I understand Nacua got hurt in the second half of that ballgame. But Cooper Kupp still, you know, provided something, 39 receiving yards. Aaron Donald with 2 sacks at the end of the game. Ben, the offensive defense of line for L.A. is very good. They can make some noise. They're clearly the second-best team in the NFC West. They beat Seattle twice. They're definitely .500 now. I think they can make some noise. Bad matchup for Cleveland, because if they have to go to Joe Flacco the rest of the way, they're not going to win many ball games. He's stationary. I know it was a 10-10 ball game in the second half, but outside of that, they got boat raced. Defense gave up a chunk of yards because they can't convert first downs. Not a good look for Stefanski, but credit McVay, this team is trending.
The Browns -162 to make the playoffs. The Steelers -142 to make the playoffs. That's in the AFC. The Rams +144. The Packers now greater than a $2 favorite at -215. But again, 4 teams in the NFC at 6-6, looking for those final 2 wild card spots. 4 teams in the AFC currently at 7-5, looking for those 3 wild card positions at this moment. Joe, I brought up the New England Patriots. A football game was played yesterday in Foxborough, and New England didn't score any points for the second time at home this year, shut out. The Chargers won. A 4-7 LA team, Joe, was laying 5.5 points. Maybe that says all we need to know about the Bolts and the Patriots this year. The Chargers do win and cover because they put up 6 points and New England scored 0. 6-0 the victory for the Chargers. The New England Patriots, Joe, now 2-10 this season. They are 1-6 against the number. They are 3-14 against the spread as an underdog in the last 2 years. A disaster at Gillette.
Yeah, I like the Chargers. I actually won a parlay because I laid 5.5. I thought the Chargers would dominate. They did dominate, but I didn't think I would get it by a half. I was hoping a double-digit win. But, you know, at the end of the day, Patriots are completely one-dimensional. They can only run the football. They average 4.5 yards per carry with Stevenson and Elliott. Here's the problem, Ben. No offensive playmakers. You could put – who do you want to put back there? You tell me. Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes. Their offense ain't scoring more than 10 points when you have pedestrian wide receivers. I'll say it again. Devontae Parker, average. Zeke Elliott was the second receiver on your team yesterday. Hunter Henry, he's not in Fayetteville. He's in New England. I mean, come on. Jalen Reagor, reject from Philadelphia and Minnesota. I mean, look at this. Juju Smith-Schuster, never a number one. He's a number two, three at best. I mean, come on. This is clearly a problem for New England. And either Bill Belichick, right, doesn't know his ass from his elbow, because it's amazing that he transformed this team and put it together, right? Or they're tanking every game. Because you tell me, when you have that type of playmakers, pedestrian, old, this looks like an over 50 club right now.
Yeah, well, he was the guy in charge of the football decisions the last few years that has led to this least talented roster they have seen in some times. There is certainly that talent gap at the quarterback position or wherever those key players are. It has not worked for New England. 2-10, the Patriots mark at this moment. Elsewhere around the NFL from the Sunday slate, a couple of big wins for the Lions on the road in New Orleans. They were up 21-0, 7 minutes into the game. The Saints do make it close, but Detroit does cover as a 4.5-point road favorite. The Lions, Joe, 4-0 against the number, against NFC South teams this year, and straight up a favorite in every game. And the Dolphins win big, Lisey guy, 45-15 in Landover against the Commanders. Miami covers as a 9.5-point favorite. They go over the pregame number of 49.5. The Dolphins, now all 9 of their wins against teams at 500 or worse, but they have covered in 8 of those 9 victories.
Yeah, I mean, I put the game on. I'm watching Tyreek Hill. I mean, there wasn't a guy within 20 yards of him for the first touchdown. I mean, come on. Gutless Ron Rivera. I actually bet them yesterday plus the 9.5 and lost a parlay because that was the only leg I lost, right? I actually thought at home catching 9.5, they would actually show some moxie, show some resolve, and maybe go toe-to-toe. Never in the ball game, completely outclassed, Waddle, Tyreek Hill, I mean, you name it, there was a Dolphin racing down the sidelines. The interception for Howell, he throws it right into the linebacker's hands. I mean, absolutely gutless performance. Ron Rivera's dead man walking. Credit Tyreek Hill in Miami. Explosive, definitely a top team in the AFC, but I still think they have something to prove on the defensive side of the ball. As a Dolphin fan, want to see them get a little bit better as the season progresses.
The Dolphins 9-3, the Lions 9-3, Detroit 9-3 for the first time in more than 60 years since 1962. Elsewhere, Joe, as we focus on the NFC South, like we said, a football game was played at Foxborough, a football game was played at MetLife. The New York Jets and the Atlanta Falcons, the Dirty Birds win 13-8. You know things are bad, Joe, when you bench Tim Boyle for Trevor Siemian. Atlanta wins and covers as a 1.5-point road favorite. A very small total of 33.5. Never even got close to being a scare.
No, but Kyle Pitts got over his total of 30.5, and that's all I cared about. I mean, don't allow Dez Ritter to throw it multiple times. He was effective. They had some rushing attack with Bijan and Tyler Algier. I still think it was a gutty effort. We know that Atlanta has never stepped up consistently in road situations, but when you have Tim Boyle, the human turnover machine, anything is possible, right? That defense now for New York has all of a sudden gave in the second half. Yeah, they made some plays, but this defense is shot. The good news is, don't worry, Jet fans. Aaron Rodgers is coming back. He's going to save the day and give you maybe potentially your 5 wins for the season.
4-8, the record for the New York Jets. There is no chance that Aaron Rodgers plays this season. I know what Joe was doing there. By the way, the other game we haven't mentioned yet in the NFC South, where the Falcons are the only team at 500 that does not have a losing record. The Bucs beat the Panthers 21-18 in Carolina's first game without Frank Reich, but the Panthers do cover as a 5.5-point underdog. Just their second cover of the year, 2-8-2 against the spread, all as an underdog, but only one win. Carolina, the first team eliminated from postseason contention. CFP reactions next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're back live right here on Football Full Circle. And now it is time for our reactions to the college football playoff. Following conference championship weekend on Selection Sunday, here are the 4 teams that will play in the CFP in the 10th and final year of a 4-team format to determine a national champion. Number 1 is Michigan. Number 2 is Washington. Number 3 is Texas. And for that coveted 4th and final CFP position, number 4 is Alabama, which means that number 5 Florida State and number 6 Georgia were left out of the college football playoff. Joe, there have been 15 undefeated Power 5 conference champions in the 10-year history now of the college football playoff, including this season in 2023. The 3 this year, Michigan, Washington, Florida State. Florida State is one of the 15 teams to go undefeated and win a Power 5 championship in the 10-year history of the college football playoff. Joe, Florida State is the first to be left outside of the CFP. Lisa, what was your reaction to the 4 teams that will play in the college football playoff and the selections the CFP committee made?
I thought it was a travesty. I really did. And again, we could get into it. Again, I have no problem with Texas making the playoff, Ben, deserving Big 12 champion, knocked off Alabama, only lost in a rivalry game to arch rival Oklahoma by a last-second touchdown. I get that. Have no problem with Texas being in the college football playoff. I do, believe it or not, as much as I love the SEC, have a problem with Alabama knocking down that door. And here's the argument that we're going to get into, and we could do it, 365 days. I understand Alabama knocked off the top team in the country. I get that. However, when you look at Alabama, they are not an undefeated conference champion, and maybe they're playing their best football at the end of the year. It's possible. I disagree. They still had their best game at the end of the year, but this is still a team that struggled as a double-digit favorite on the road in the Iron Bowl. This is still a team that struggled as a 20.5-point favorite against Arkansas, won by 3. Earlier in the year, they were a 32.5-point favorite and didn't cover with their backup quarterbacks and won that ball game by 14 points against USF, a team that they should have absolutely wiped the floor with by 30-plus. And if we're talking apples to apples, all Florida State did was win. They held an explosive Louisville offense to 188 total yards, only 6 points, an average team that was averaging 33 points per game. And I'll just leave it at this in terms of the opening statement. If Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, who else you want to throw in? USC? If they were all undefeated and won a conference championship and were on their backup quarterback, would they be left out of the college football playoff? You know the answer as well as I do. Absolutely not.
Joe, yesterday the college football playoff selection committee told us a lot by their determinations. It's the final year the 10th and final year of a four-team format. So I believe a dangerous precedent was set yesterday. Others will say, well, it's the final year of four. It won't matter when CFP expansion takes place in 2024. I strongly disagree. What the College Football Playoff Selection Committee told us yesterday, Joe, was that games don't matter. They told us that wins don't matter. They told us that winning all of your games matters absolutely zero. They told us losses don't matter. They told us conference championships don't matter. All they told us that matters, Joe, is a significant injury to your starting quarterback. Because injuries are apparently greater than conference championships that are apparently greater than wins overall. Florida State played 13 games this year, Joe Lisi. They won all 13. Florida State played three top 25 opponents in the final College Football Playoff rankings. Florida State beat all three of those top 25 opponents, including in the ACC championship game, a game in which they played, a championship in which they won. And Florida State will be remembered in the 10th and final year of a four-team format as the only undefeated Power 5 conference champion to be left out of the College Football Playoff. It is a sad day for the sport of college football. One of the reasons, Joe, we made the decision to move from magazines and newspapers determining a national champion to the computer system that was the BCS, from that mathematical system to 13 individuals sitting in a conference room in Grapevine, Texas, to be a committee to make these decisions, was to get rid of the idea that college football was a beauty pageant, a style points competition. Games were supposed to be the ultimate decider until they were not, and that was this year in 2023. A lot of people that are against expansion will tell you it diminishes the importance of a regular season. Well, how about the final year of a four-team system that said that 13 games, 12 of them in the regular season, and winning every one was not enough to send a team to a college football playoff? What happened to Florida State yesterday is a travesty, Joe. It is a great word, but I believe it is also a precedent that was set by the CFP selection committee that will see ramifications even when we expand to 12 teams. Because the precedent that was set yesterday was that games, wins, and championships mean nothing. At least they are not more important than injuries.
Yeah, absolutely, Ben. I couldn't agree more. And again, you know, I'll throw two things out there. In 2014, the first year of the playoff, Cardale Jones led them to a national championship, Ohio State. And I understand they beat Wisconsin 59-0. That was a one-dimensional Wisconsin offense. They couldn't throw the football at all. They had two losses already entering that conference championship game, and I understand margin of victory. But you can never say never as it relates to backup, second string, or third string quarterbacks, because nobody in America thought TCU, even with their first string, was going to beat Michigan basically as an 8.5 and 9-point underdog last year, and they won the ball game anyway. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is everybody's talking about the lines. Oh, if Florida State was in the playoff, they'd be 14-point dogs to Georgia, 7-point dogs to Michigan. So all of a sudden, the lines matter. Okay, great. Guess what? College football is not the NFL. We talk about closing lines in the NFL. Why? Because the spreads are so tight, you get the consistency from week to week. Field goal matters. 7 points matter. College football, look at it. From the course of the season, not just this year, throughout the last decade, 20 years, closing line has absolutely a majority, no bearing on a multitude of games, okay? There's 65 college football games a weekend, and track it. A closing number of 27.5, Texas State wins outright against Baylor. 23.5-point dog Virginia wins outright against top-ranked North Carolina. 20.5-point underdog Georgia Tech wins outright against Miami. It happens every single week. And oh, by the way, a Pac-12 championship. Undefeated Washington catching 9.5-10 wins against Oregon. I mean, if we're just talking about lines, then just allow Vegas to make the national championship. It's absolutely pathetic. I've had enough of it. Florida State got screwed, and we'll see what comes of it.
Absolutely, Joe. Could not agree more. Could not agree more. Projections are not what this sport is about. Projection is not what sports are about. Joe, we work in sports betting media. We look at projections. We look at odds. They tell you the expected outcome. But one of the reasons we all have a passion, excitement, and love for sports is because of the very idea of the word underdog. A team, multiple individuals, 100-plus individuals coming together in the face of adversity, including losing your starting quarterback in Jordan Travis, and still winning games, because the result of games should be the deciding factor, not what we expected to happen or what we expect to happen moving forward. There is an idea that because of the way Florida State looked in its two victories after losing Jordan Travis for the year and his college football career, they would not be able to be competitive in a college football playoff. That for the first year in the 10-year system of the CFP, the committee decided to stick to their guns and say it's not most deserving, it's the four best. It has never been the four best in the college football playoff system, despite what they might want to tell you, carries the day through and through. And there are some people, Joe, and this point I agree, that would say, unlike any other year past outside of maybe 2014, we have not had as many qualified candidates to be one of the four college football playoff teams. Three undefeated Power Five conference champions and three one-loss teams that look the part just on the other side. But Joe, at the end of the day, it comes down to key metrics, not your amount of rushing yards, not how many passing yards you threw for, not your points per game, not how many defensive snaps you play. The key metrics I'm talking about, Joe, are wins and losses. Georgia, Alabama, and Texas had one. Florida State, Washington, and Michigan had zero. What exactly was Florida State supposed to do after losing their starting quarterback, Jordan Travis? Call it quits, wrap up the year, not play anymore, exit the North Alabama game midway through the second quarter and say thanks, it's been a fun season for the 10 and a half games that we have played? Here's what they did do, Joe, after losing Jordan Travis. They went on the road against an SEC rival in the swamp, and they beat Florida and covered as a 6.5-point favorite because of a stout defense and Trey Benson having his best game of the season. And then even after losing Tate Rodemaker with a backup third-string freshman quarterback in Brock Glenn that had attempted four career college passes during his time at Florida State, shut down one of the best rushing offenses in the ACC and put up rushing yards against the only rushing defense in the ACC that allowed less than 100 yards per game on average this season in 2023. So even after losing Jordan Travis, they won a rivalry game against an SEC foe on the road and a conference championship game by double digits. But there are some teams, Joe, that would tell you that their third string quarterback put up 55 yards passing, so they are not fit to take on the likes of Michigan. Hey, here's something for you. Florida State outgained Michigan in their conference championship game on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. Tate Rodemaker will be the quarterback if they make, well, when they play Georgia in terms of the bowl game, if they play Georgia, because now, I don't know if you saw breaking news, Rick Scott sent a letter to Boo Corrigan. The Senate's involved in determining answers for Florida State, so God knows where we go from here, but you're absolutely right. And that what you just said, Ben, discounts the line value, because the Vegas and New York set the line in terms of the Florida State, Florida game, 4.5, they covered that and won, right? They set the Louisville line, 1.5, they won by double digits. So that's it. You know, take that argument and shove it know where, because they took care of business, they did it with a third stringer, they're going to be playing with a backup. If they made the playoff, they're deserving. It's absolute BS, and it comes down to the committee, potentially the powers that be, not wanting to discount and leave the SEC out, and this was the year to do it, not to make a statement, because it was the right thing, Ben. It was the right thing to do.
I have no argument against Alabama or no argument against the SEC. I have an argument pro Florida State. I actually think there are some key metrics that you could say Alabama knocking out Georgia in the SEC championship game is the best win of the season in college football. Alabama will end up with top 15 victories over LSU and Ole Miss to boot as well. There is no knocking Alabama's resume. A 12-1 SEC championship or champion should play in the college football playoff, just not at the expenditure and the absence of a 13-0 Power 5 conference champion in Florida State. And when you lost a head-to-head to Texas, you were always going to trail the Longhorns as well. A couple more college football playoff thoughts on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
If you think the college football playoff conversations are saved for on air, you did not just hear the commercial break between Joe Lisi and myself live right here on Sports Grid Radio. It's Football Full Circle. Joe, one of the things that was the most difficult to see yesterday was not the selection committee making their final determinations of the group of four, but Jordan Travis, the quarterback that had his college career come to a close with a gruesome leg injury against North Alabama in the second to last game for FSU, having to tweet these words out. Quote, "I wish my leg broke earlier." Virtually saying that if I had suffered an injury earlier in the year and the committee had gotten more time to evaluate this Florida State team that had its ground game step up, that had its defense playing at an elite level in the absence of Jordan Travis, then maybe then they would have had the burden of proof to say we are one of the four best teams in college football. You have a quarterback that had his college career come to a close like that after having the best year of his college career, having to tweet out, "I wish my leg broke earlier." That is the system of what we have designed in the final year of the four-team format.
Yeah, it's a shame. Again, the fact that the four-team playoff is going out like this is an absolute travesty to college football, and it's demoralizing for not just Florida State, but other schools that potentially could be in that situation moving forward. Next year, it's 12, but I'm sure we're going to have controversy. The controversy does drive the sport, but when you hear a young man that laid it all out on the line, wishing that he got hurt earlier, it just takes away from everything about amateur athletics. And that's the thing, too. Let's not forget, this is not the NFL. Even though it's a business, it's student athletes. That's what should matter. These kids laid it all on the line and deserve to compete for a national championship.
Yep, we've got litigation coming from senators. We've got a ton of conversation. It is truly the end of days of the four-team format in the college football playoff era. We'll have plenty more to say. The semifinal games are going to be great. We'll preview them in the coming weeks. We're back tomorrow at noon Eastern, live right here on Football Full Circle.